blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 3 and 4. In earth or heaven above, who is there that I love compared with thee? My heart may faint with fears, but God my strength appears, and will to endless years my portion be. 3 and 4 of 204.
ask your attention this evening for the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the first 22 verses. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who hast given the shadows, which shadows were so blessed already in their season to those who may live under them, so that thy servant did say, Let us go up unto the house of the Lord. There all that ceremony that thou hadst given did have give expectation and hope in the heart of those who were convicted in their own hearts by thy Holy Spirit, and who could not live without God anymore in this world. And now if those shadows were so blessed, oh, then what is the fulfilling of them, and that we may commemorate also in this day, and when thou givest us to gather in thy house of prayer around about thy holy word, thou hast given us to commemorate the coming of thy dear Son into this world, taking upon him that flesh, that human nature, in order that he may pay that awful and great price, and we may come together to gather around the preaching of his death and of his satisfaction and of his resurrection from the dead. And now in this day, we may gather to consider his crowning day when he was received up into glory, when all the angels did sing of the salvation of the God of the church. O Lord, that thou may give us also to sing this day. Lord, thou knowest each and every one of thy own people, and thou dost teach them to mourn. And thou sayest, blessed are they that do mourn, for they shall be comforted. O Lord, thou knowest what thou givest them to mourn, or that thou may give them also to be comforted this day, and that they may be given to believe in thee, who hast indeed ascended on high, and who dost sit at the right hand of thy Father, there to give the application and to send forth into this world thy Holy Spirit to with power renew the hearts of thine elect from the foundations of the world known by thee, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and who must be converted, who must be born again, and who must receive the fruits of all thy mediatorial labors. O Lord, today we may be gathered in thy house of prayer, and thou knowest whether that there is any desire in our heart for these things. By nature there is none, and we are dead in sins and in trespasses, and so often even after received grace, O Lord, then thou knowest how that love does wax cold, so that thou sayest that thou hast somewhat against thee. I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love. O Lord, who can bring us back again? Who can revive thy church in the midst of the years? Is that not only by thy own power, whereby that thou hast begun for thy people? O Lord, we beseech thee then, also in this evening hour, that thou may come with a blessing out of the great storehouses of Joseph, and give us feelingly and believingly to know thy presence among us and within us, or that we may be given that life for the first time from the dead, that we may be revived even by renewal in the midst of that life, that short journey between the cradle and the grave here below. Lord, thou knowest what kind of a way that it is. Thou sayest that narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and every one of thy dear children must travel upon that way. Thou knowest how wayward that they are. They would go this way and that way according to their own flesh. Draw, Lord, draw from heaven thy dwelling place. Oh, that thou mayst come and knock and leave a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Oh, draw by that precious drawing of thy Holy Spirit. That thou may give unto thy true children a little smell, that they might rise up again and seek after thee, that they may desire to know more of those blessed treasures that thou hast revealed in thy holy word, and that are so often hid from their own eyes. O Lord, there is nothing that they can give unto themselves. It all must come from thee. It all must be opened unto us from heaven. O Lord, thou knowest how weak, and thou knowest how helpless, and thou knowest how poor, and thou knowest how wretched and how sinful and how carnal and how worldly, and that thy church remains after received grace. But thou art sitting at the right hand of thy Father, and thou sayest that the treasures must not be here below, but that they must be in heaven. Oh, that thou may seek us out again, Lord. Thou art he that must seek after the sheep time and again, and when they do go astray, wandering to and fro over this world. I give new ones, Lord. Give new ones to be born in Zion in this evening hour. And when thy word does go forth, and the preaching even unto the dead dry bones, who cannot make themselves to live. Lord, there is no expectation from thy side that thou wouldest expect it from a man who is dead in trespasses and sins. It all must come from thee, O Lord, thou knowest, and that is thy own work. And thou dost send thy servants from above, that they may go forth and labor here below, instituting a ministry. Our Lord, that thou may give us also men in thy choosing in the week that is to come, to gladden us with thy deeds from heaven, and that thou may give us to feel that thou knowest where that we are here also upon the earth. Those that have needs and difficulties and troubles, especially within thy church, O Lord, that thou may supply from heaven, that there may be no blot upon thy holy word and thy ministry, and that thou may give, that there may be a truly prayer going up unto thee, and that thou may solve it for thy people, for thy servants, for thy church, for thy office bearers here below. I do walk, Lord, amidst the candlesticks, holding those seven stars in thy right hand, and that thou mayest give an increase in the midst of thy church. O Lord, remember those who do feel something of their own wretchedness and their misery in this night, who have come up unto thy house of prayer, or who do say, Lord, thou art now in heaven, but I am here upon the earth. O Lord, that I am here in such wretchedness and in such misery. O Lord, then it seems so impossible that thou wouldest look upon such a wretched creature as I am. O Lord, could it please thee to give that they might hear thy voice in this night. O Lord, that thou would speak unto their soul, that thou may give a little encouragement, or a little food, a little strength for the journey, which is always too great for us, and that thou may lead into the paths of peace, glorifying the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, and who has finished all the work that thou hast given him to do as so faithfully. And Lord, when thou hast given him that reward to sit now at thy right hand, that thou may give him also a church and that may serve him. Our Lord, that thou may increase the number of that people, that 140 and 4,000, they are all numbered by thee. Our Lord, they are not all brought in, else this world had ended already. But thou extendest even through all the sin of this world and of our hearts and the time of grace. Oh, could it be in this evening to add one? Oh, to add more, Lord, and for thy hand that is so strong and thy might that is so powerful and great over all the wiles of the devil, and thou hast shown and that thou hast bruised his head. Oh, Lord, show it tonight too, and give a man in his wretchedness and in his misery and in his walking through all the world here below to cry out unto the true and the living God. Look upon us as a congregation so, as a denomination so, and that thou may bring us all to thy blessed footstool in truth in this evening hour. Be with us, gather with us, care for the afflicted and the sick, and the mother, and that thou hast brought home from the hospital, and be on the right and on the left further in all of her weakness, and the child also that is sick among them, and all those that are sick, and the family of our brother deacon. Lord, care for them also, and all that are afflicted and sick in the midst of our congregation, of this community, of our denomination. And Lord, that thou and mayest also preserve the name, thy own name's honor in the midst of the people amongst whom we dwell here in this place upon the earth. Wilt thou give us in this night help to bring thy word. Give us a little freedom. Give us a little liberty, if it could please thee. But above all, thy blessing undeserved, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 183, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. 1 through 4 of Psalter 183. Beloved congregation, Ascension Day is a commemoration of the crowning of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when he was received up again into glory, when he was received at the right hand, we read of his Father, and there he may sit upon the throne which was promised unto him even before that he came into this world. If there was reason, good reason, for rejoicing at the coming of the Lord Jesus in this world, much more is there cause for rejoicing at his going, at his returning from this world unto his Father. Why? Well, you say, because then the work of redemption which he had given himself to do was finished. Thus we say, cause for rejoicing. Why was there a question, boys and girls, before that he had finished it? Whether he would finish it? No. There was no question of that at all. We read in God's word, he is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That means that it was just as good as before that he had finished it, as when he had finished it for the sake of the church. That is why it was not necessary for Abraham, for example, that he would go to fathers in limbo, patris limbo patrum, fathers in limbo. That was not necessary. You say, because he could not enter into heaven yet, because Christ had not finished his work yet. No, that was sure. That was sure also even from the beginning. But what a wonder when it was finished. If you have to suffer, children, then you say, I am glad it is all over, right? And now for the Lord Jesus. That was no just easy suffering, no. That was a very great suffering. He has sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling unto the ground. And that was in his soul, a suffering that was in his body. And now Joshua, he speaks about those people who shout, the voice of them, he says, that shout for mastery. That is, we have mastered our enemies. And as those then that are bringing with them home from the war captives. That is what we read that David says. He says, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thus the Lord has come in a war, that is to fight Satan. And he has brought with him captives. What was the captive? Well, the Bible says, David says, captivity. Captivity is captive. So what does that mean? That is actually like a double negative, right? The captive. And then if you have someone, if you have captivity that is bound, then what do you have? And you say, then we have freedom. Then we have freedom. Because he has bound all the captivity, the captors, let me say, but the captivity of itself, of that true church of God. And thus he has given freedom unto that true church of God. And thus in ascending, and Christ sitting at the right hand of God is now sitting in victory over every one of his own and of the true church's enemies. What does that mean? That means there is nothing that is able anymore to separate the true church of God from the presence of the Lord. Just as they were separated from him and by Satan's work as he drew them away from the Lord. We want to see that in this evening for a few moments out of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So far the words of our text, which speak about boldness to enter. First, the place to be entered. The place to be entered. And second, the manner of this entrance. Boldness to enter. First, the place to be entered. Second, the manner of this entrance. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. So what does that mean? To enter, we would say that is to go into a place. Just like you go in through a door, you go in through a gate, you go in through some kind of an entrance. So this idea of entering in is connected to permission. That is connected to having a right of entrance into a certain place. So if a person is not permitted to be in a certain place, then he is refused at the very entrance of that place. So it is at the very entrance that we would say his credentials, his rights to be in that place are being examined, and that he may enter, or that he is refused entrance into this place. Thus, into what place is Paul here speaking about entering? He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. The holiest. So what is the holiest? You know, I think, children, the holiest, because you learn from father and mother or in school all about the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, there are different places, different furniture. And there was a court in that tabernacle. And then there was a holy place. And then there was the Holy of Holies. That's what the apostle here calls the holiest. And in that holiest, that most holy place, no one was allowed to enter except for the high priest, and that only one time in a year, and that only with blood, carrying that blood off from the altar of burnt offering. And if all of this was not fulfilled, anyone else or the priest came in any other way into that holiest, then as such a man would die. Say, why is that? Well, because it was a representation. It was a representation of the presence of God. That is, that holy God, the God of their fathers, Jehovah, that was willing to go with the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness, to travel with them and to be with them, but only in a certain way. And what is that way? Well, that is only through Christ. That was now the picture of that whole tabernacle. And Christ is pictured in that entire tabernacle, in all of the furniture and in the priesthood and in the seasons of the year and so on. So many pictures. God, that holy God, that cannot be approached unto outside of Christ, that is all pictured for the children of Israel. The Lord says that he will go with them, but they are not allowed to come in that holy place themselves. They are too wretched. They are too sinful to come into the direct presence of that holy God. And now they may approach unto him, but that approach unto him may only be through Christ, who is represented by that furniture and all of that high priestly office. You know what Habakkuk says? He says, Lord, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Do you ever feel that? That is now what the Lord would have his people to feel. That was that picture that the Lord gave to them, visible with their eyes, forbidden at the pain of death, that they would come into that holy presence. Thus, what do we feel of this? Of that holiness of God? The Lord would preach through this to this people. How filthy, how sinful, how guilty, how abominable that people were over against who that he is. And now if the Lord will give to us just a little sight of who that we are, what does Job say? He says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. He says, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. Congregation, we ask you that question tonight. Did you ever abhor yourself? Because if we look, young people, at each other, you say, yeah, it is true. I am the worst one. That's true, isn't it? Because you don't know the heart of your brother, do you? But you know a little of your own, right? You say, yeah, I don't think that such things come up in his mind. And I doubt that such thoughts come up in her mind. But I know what comes up in my own mind. And yet you say, yeah, in comparison with them, well, yes, maybe that I am the worst. But now, that holy God, who is too pure to look upon evil, and do we ever feel something of that abhorrence? Because Job says, when he had seen him with his eyes, what does that mean? He did not see him with his actual eyes, no. But the Lord revealed something to him that is out of his own word, that the Lord showed him something of his immaculate being. And then there can be nothing else that a man is falling before the Lord in the dust of self-abasement. Adam and Eve were driven out of paradise. Why? Well, that is the place where God would dwell. They could no longer dwell with him in that place. Why? That was because of sin. And so the Lord is placed at the east of that garden, we read, cherubim, and a flaming sword which turned every way, that he may keep the way of that tree of life. Thus they were forbidden entrance. They may not come into that garden. Heaven, congregation, we read in God's word, also has gates. You read, children of heaven, that it has 12 gates. And now John says that there shall in no wise enter something into heaven. You know what that is? There shall in no wise enter anything that defileth. What do you think? You think you would defile the place if you came in there? Neither whatsoever work of abomination or a lie. None of that. That is, as it were, everything is going to be stopped right at the entrance. Thus we read of the five foolish virgins. No. They may not come even past that entrance. Their names are not written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And that was evident in their life. How? Is that evident in our life? Because there was no oil in their lamps. And they were satisfied just with a possession of an outward religion. Something that was flaming, something that was showing to other men, and that was burning. There was no oil. There was nothing inside. There was nothing genuine in their people. And now the Lord at the gate, then the Lord says, no. Such a people will not come in here. Boldness to enter. The place to be entered. What is that place? That is the immediate presence of God. That is the place. That is the testimony in many places of the Bible. That is the place. Now Christ has entered in his ascension. What do we read? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Thus, that is now the place of which Paul, he writes also here, that it is the law and the tabernacle, they are a shadow, he says, a shadow of this place. Shadow, that means a dark, a shadow is dark. And yet we see the form of the thing that is living. And thus he said that tabernacle and the law of ceremonies is a dark form of something that is living. But now our text does not speak about Christ coming in there. No, it speaks about the consequences of Christ coming in there. And it speaks therefore about, he says, brethren. Having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Brethren, to go into the holiest. That most holy place that was forbidden that any man would come because of his sin and because of the immaculateness of God. Having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, holiest. And that after that man has been cast out of the garden of paradise, and an angel and a flaming sword is placed at the entrance to this garden, now he says, boldness to enter into the holiness. That is now the declaration of the day of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the opening of a closed heaven. That is now what is declared on the day of Christ's ascension. The entrance not only of Christ, but also of his church with him into that holiest. Ascension Day congregation gives us an opportunity. Gives us an opportunity to examine ourselves. An opportunity to examine our whole religion. What is our religion? What is the root? What is the principle? What does it flow out of? Do we ever go back to the root? David says, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, yea, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That is, congregation, the beginning. The beginning of a new life. And that is, young people, do you know that very often that begins when we are young? You believe that? Do you desire that? Do you ask the Lord for that? Just a desire. A desire. That is fruit, that is evidence of a new life. Do you know such a desire? You know where that desire goes? That desire is going back. It's going back to paradise. That desire is actually going back to the way that we were created and what our fall is. That we were created and placed in that garden, and we were placed in that communion, and we were created there to be with and to dwell and commune with God. And now there is a desire in the heart to return. Thus, it is going back to paradise, and there is so much religion in the world that lacks this, that knows nothing about this. That is a desire for heaven. That is a desire for blessings. Pharisees, what did they want? They wanted honor in the church. If we could get everyone to honor me in the church, is that what you desire? There are many that desire just fellowship with one another. When they come up to the house of God, is that why we have religion? There are just many others, they say, well, yeah, that conscience, now we come closer. Now we come closer. And yet still natural. Still natural. Belonging to everyone. Such desire. Because a burning conscience, that is not easy to have, is it? You don't think so, children? Your conscience speaks, is that easy? You say, I just push it away. Don't do that. Don't do that. No. You must think to yourself, there is a way for that rightly to be taken away. That burning conscience. That it may be made good again. That it may be made right again. You know how that goes, right? Say, why is it burning? Yeah, what I said to my brother. What I said to my sister. What I said to my mother. What I didn't listen to my father. You know what to do with that? While you're still alive. You go to them. Will you do that? You go to them and you say, I've sinned. I've done what is wrong. And you ask, will you forgive me? Don't just push it away, no. Take care of that while your mother and father are still alive. While your brother, while your sister is still alive. Because how would that now be when they would pass away? And you never took care of that. And you go your whole life long. You go your whole life long. That is what I said to my brother. And now, when we may take care of all those things, with all our fellow man, what are we left with? Ah, then it is all still before God, isn't it? Ah, that burning conscience. Ah, now we come so much closer, congregation, and still, that is actually that which is burning in every single man that is here upon the face of this world. Oh, that new life. What is that life? That life is spiritual. You know what the Lord Jesus said? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. No, that is a spiritual kingdom. You know what those new desires are? They're spiritual desires. You know what Paul speaks about? He speaks about being without God in the world. Anyone? How is it tonight? Without God in the world. That is the beginning. All love for Him. Desire for Him. I cannot be without Him. It goes back to paradise. There we had Him. Then it goes to our own fall. Our first parents. It comes to me. And now it is all from my side. So, so impossible to bring back there again. That is congregation the way. That is now what is going on. That is a little window. The heart of every one of that true church. And now, there's nothing in the world that can fill that. There's nothing in the whole world that can satisfy those desires. Ah, they may try. Sometimes try even just to push it away. Say, because I cannot get it. But now that window in that heart can't be filled with anything else. Why? Because it is not spiritual. And that new life, that is a life that is coming out of heaven. And it is a life that is desiring that communion. And that is a life that is seeking that communion. And that is receiving that communion. And that is going unto that communion. One word. One word from heaven, that is congregation more than all the gold and all the silver. That is for that people's substance, that they may receive the favor of the Lord and that they may come again to receive those true spiritual blessings that are flowing only and from the storehouses of that greater Joseph, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. What do you feel? You know what that does to that heart? That makes that heart beat. To enter into the holies. And without this, what is congregation Ascension Day? What does it mean to us? Ascension Day. When we have no such desires. But now that substance that is to be inherited. And there are desires to receive and to inherit that substance from the Lord. The Lord says, I will cause thee to those that love me to inherit substance, to inherit substance. He says, I will fill all their treasures. And now Ascension Day, what is that? That is now the fulfillment. That is the fulfillment of just those desires that were born in the new birth. right at the beginning. They are, you say, well, they had no knowledge even of Christ. They are desires after God. And now, what is Christ doing? Christ is bringing in that ascension his people back to him. Thus, that is the end. Christ is the mediator, and he is reconciling all that comes between. But we have tonight to see the beginning, and how that beginning is now connected to the fulfillment. That is the great beauty. That is the great blessedness. That is the great joy. That is the great preaching of Ascension Day. Thus, Ascension Day is not just for the established church. No, it is for the concerned church also. Because that which you feel in your heart, those burnings and those longings and those pantings of your heart, they are now able to be fulfilled. Because the Lord shows in the Ascension that indeed those desires that he is working, he is actually bringing to fruition, that he is bringing his church actually and really into that true presence of the Lord. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Ascension Day is a testimony of this. They shall be filled. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. That is now the place that is to be entered into. That is that blessed communion with that holy God. You say, how? That is the manner of this entrance. What do we read? Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest. Thus Paul speaks about the way. He says, boldly. Are you bold? Are you bold, boys and girls? What does that mean, to be bold? That means actually, in this case, that would be without reservations. Reservations. We all have a different character, right? Say, the apostle Peter, he was, of all of the apostles, he was bold. He was not reserved. He didn't keep back. No, he spoke immediately exactly what he felt within his heart. And yet, we read in one place in the Bible, Peter and John ran together. Remember that, children? Peter and John ran together. Where were they going? Where were they going? You say they were going to the sepulcher. That's right. Then what do we read? The one of them outran the other. Which one? Say John. John outran Peter. Why? Many say, well, John was younger. John was more nimble. That is true. He was younger. But I'd like to ask you a question tonight. And that is this. Do you think that's the only reason? That John outran Peter? Congregation, what is the Lord doing in the life of his people? Because we know that character, well, conversion doesn't change a person's character. And yet, It does affect his character. It affects his character. What does it do to character? Well, what does the knowledge of sin do? When Peter is running. Well, then Peter is not so bold, is he? Thus, what is now that knowledge of sin doing in our life? Then it is taking away our boldness, isn't it? When you know you are guilty, then you're not so bold, are you? And when the Lord is bringing that sin home to us, well, then there are reservations in our approaches, aren't there? It's not a good sign. When a man can approach unto God in such a carnal way, not a good sign. Because it means that he has not been instructed very much in his own sin. What do we read of the publican? He stood afar off. He stood afar off. Now why? Well, because the knowledge of myself that is bringing reservations and that is taking away my boldness to approach unto that holy God. What did Abraham say? Behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. That is congregation, the true church. The apostle says, brethren, brethren. And now it is to this church that the apostle is speaking in our text, but we want to sing first. 140 stanzas 2, 3, and 4. God, my transgressions I confess, grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just, speechless I thy mercy trust. 2, 3, and 4. Of 140. brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Esther, congregation, was not bold. Her uncle had to encourage her to go in unto the king. Paul says, brethren, that is now the church to whom Paul is speaking, not just to a religious professor who needs some of his carnal boldness to be taken away from him. But Paul would take away the reservations of those who have been made tender, of those who have been made meek. Those reservations, congregation, are often so very many, because such a person feels himself to be a miserable creature, carnal creature, worldly creature, sensual creature, devilish, the apostle says. We read in the Bible, a cage of unclean birds. You ever feel it? Does that give you reservations? Do you ever say, I cannot find one spark of true godliness within my heart? There is nothing heavenly. There is nothing spiritual. Does that give you reservations? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Do you know what the Lord says? He says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembleth at my word. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. When Christ died, what happened? Then we read that the veil of the temple that was rent from the top to the bottom. What does that mean? Two things. In the first place, there came an end to all that the shadows, the dark pictures, the ceremonies. And in the second place, the separation between that holy God and that church of God, that veil that is between, that is rent, and that is taken away. Paul says Christ consecrated a new and a living way. That had the old way, that was all those shadows. And he says, now this is the new way. And that is not a dead way, no. But that is a living way. That is not through dead ceremonies, but that is, as it were, directly from that people, through that mediator, unto his Father. And then he says, that carnal priesthood that is no longer necessary. Why? He says we have an high priest over the house of God who has entered into the holiest. Therefore, Paul says, let us draw near to whom? That is to that holy God that was always having to be behind that veil. He says, through this high priest over the house of God who has entered into the heavens, that is with his own blood before his Father, because that veil that is now rent and all the barriers. What is your desire? All those barriers taken away. That sin that is paid, and that heaven and that communion that is now open. It's open. Therefore, Paul, he says, brethren, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. He would take away the reservations of those who are made timid, because of their sin. And that does prevent them from drawing nigh unto the Lord, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What is that sprinkling? What did the priest do? You know that, children, too. When he went in to that holy place, the holiest, the place of the holiest, what was there? That was the mercy seat. The cherubims, they are looking down. That is the place of the presence of God. And the cherubims, the angels of God, they may be a witness. May never experience what that church experiences, but they may now be a witness. And now the high priest had to take that blood from off that altar, and he had to put that on the, sprinkle that on the mercy seat. What was that? He went before God and he sued for the pardon of his church there with the blood that was taken there from that altar, had to be off that altar. But it was so necessary that it was not only slain on that altar, but it had to come off that altar. And by that high priest come in that place, and there he would sue for the peace, for the pardon, for the forgiveness, of all of his people. And now Paul says, this is fulfilled. He says there he is entered with that blood, and there he sues for pardon. And before his Father, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The heart sprinkled, what is that? Well, congregation, when faith may be given to see this for a moment, concerning their own soul, their own case, then the Lord, he is by his Spirit sprinkling also that blood upon their own conscience. You ever experienced that? For one moment, what that is. When there is no conscience of sins, they come back again. Here below, but to have no more conscience of sins than we feel, than we understand for a moment what the power of that blood is before the face of the true and the living God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only so, but he says, and having our bodies washed with pure water, that is not only for justification, but also for sanctification. What are congregation? The reservations. You have reservations to draw near, to approach unto God. What are your reservations? What are they about? You say guilt. Guilt. And not only guilt, but there is pollution. Yeah, those two things. I say, if only I could draw near. But I have no power to draw near. And why not? Yeah, that sin, that guilt, that pollution, that wretchedness. I do not deserve this. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. You don't know. But the Lord knows who I am. And my hypocrisy. You have reservations. And now when the Lord gives one crumb, just one crumb, of that true saving faith, you know what happens? Then suddenly they draw near. They draw near. They draw near with their guilt. They draw near in their pollution. You know what they receive? Boldness. Boldness. Why? Because they see something. They see a certain suitability in him that is suiting my case. They see that these two, they do fit together like a hand in a glove. That he was made exactly for such as I am. Do you know what Esther did? She went in. She said, I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. There was a holy, you see, was she bold? Yeah, a holy boldness in her trembling, but it was in her need and in the need for her people who were to be destroyed if she did not go in. So that was with that woman. She has an issue of blood, that polluted woman. She didn't belong there. But what does she do? She receives in that, she says, he is the only one, the only one. And so fitting for my own case. If I go not now, I'm lost. I'm lost. And so she goes. She cannot do otherwise. Is she angry? It is not according to the law. He says, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And she felt in her body from that moment that she was made whole of that plague. Oh, did not the thief go in the same way? In exactly the same way, with neither burnt offering nor sacrifice, because he had none. He had none. He says, if I go not now, then I am lost. And what does he do? Faith then, faith. It sees something of the suitability of that Savior. And then it goes. And was he not promised entrance even into that holiest place? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Brethren, he says, now the type, that is all fulfilled. There is nothing anymore that is standing in the way. There is no sinner that is too great. No, he is inviting the chiefest of the sinners. Brethren, boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus. The church, he says, they have a high priest over the house of God. What does John say? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Did your poor soul ever believe this? Did you ever believe it? How do you know? You will know. Because there are fruits of faith. And then you will feel something of those fruits that he says here. A heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. What a wonderful thing. And congregation, we know if we are guilty or if we are not. We know that. Everyone knows that. And if you feel a burden under that guilt, and you feel something of an heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, even the smallest bit, you will know it. You will know it. Our bodies washed with pure water. Calvin, he says, that cleanness of soul and body that flows from and is effected by the Spirit of God. Congregation, this is the way the church enters into communion that is already here below, according to those first desires. The first desires of that newborn soul having a high priest over the house of God. That's a communion from which we have been cast out. All of us. Already in paradise. But now the apostle says the cherubim and that sword, that flaming sword that has been taken away from the entrance into that garden, into the paradise of God. And what are we doing? Serving the world. And we do not look to see that angel is taken away and that the flaming sword is taken away. Why? Because our heart is still taken by that same Satan who drew it in paradise, and we are still running after him. Or is it different in your life? Christ says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It says that cherubim that is taken to him that overcometh, that is now what true faith may do by moments, by that power of the Spirit of the Lord. Just like that Canaanitish woman, or that poor woman drawing nigh in her need unto him who had no rights. Who had no rights. She was congregation on the outside and in herself like a filthy dog. And so drawing near. Who invited that woman? Who invited her to come to Christ? See, no one invited her. Seemed like Christ himself would thrust her away over and over again. What made her come? You know what made her come? The Lord opened her eyes and the Lord showed her the suitability of that Savior for her case. That was her invitation. That was her invitation. Because she says, he is made just for me. Then it is so obvious unto her soul that faith overcame all the reservations that even Christ himself is bringing into the foreground. And she becomes bold, with a holy boldness. And so the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent took it by force. Thus the poor church enters by faith, and they shall enter in such a way in that last day into the holiest. By the blood of Jesus, will we enter there also? Amen. Oh Lord, it is but a few words, but thou can bless them. Show to us the truth of thy word. Show to us our own wretchedness, and that there is only one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. O Lord, if it is not now, under the truth of the preaching of thy word in our life, how can it ever be? Soon to be too late. O, teach us meekness. Teach us reservation. Give us holy boldness. Draw us, Lord. We will run after thee with our children. Forgive and take away the sins of this hour. Dismiss us with thy indispensable blessing. And be with us in the days to come. Help each one in all the labors of our hands. Care for the sick. Supply for all those that mourn. Prepare us for thy day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 50. Come, ye that fear Jehovah. Ye saints, your voice is raised. Come, stand in awe before him and sing his glorious praise. Ye lowly and afflicted, who on his word rely, your heart shall live forever. The Lord will satisfy. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 50. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.